You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my guest is my good friend and mastermind member, Dustin Williams. Dustin is the owner of Precision Fitness in Bentonville, Arkansas. And man, I've known Dustin for quite a while now and watched his business grow and evolve. And, you know, he really has done some cool stuff offline and even started to expand a little bit online. So I'll be excited to get to work through some coaching today with Dustin. So welcome.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Really excited to be here.
So Dustin, give the listeners a little bit of your background. Tell them a little bit about you, your business, and that'll be a good foundation for us to get started.
So I started my business, Precision Fitness, you know, group personal training studio, almost 9 years ago. So this December will be 9 years. And it's been a heck of a ride. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually got my degree in finance and sat behind a desk for, you know, 40 or 50 hours a week when I got out of college and decided it was not the lifestyle for me for multiple reasons. One, I was pretty unhappy. And secondary, I gained, 50, 60 pounds also in the process. So decided it was time for an overall lifestyle change and got back to an active lifestyle and made the decision that, you know, if I was going to do something that I really enjoyed that was realistic for me, what would that be? That led me into the fitness world. And I worked for a big box gym for a couple of years and knew that that wasn't ultimately what I wanted to do. So I left there and opened my own training studio. And I'd been in business for about 6 months whenever I just randomly accidentally came across you and, you know, kind of been following you around and taking your advice ever since.
So talk for a minute about how the business is now and, well, just kind of what the business looks like today.
So as far as the business, I mean, it's always evolving. I mean, you have to, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I have you helping me, you know, I have to be able to constantly evolve in what I do or I'll definitely get left behind since the fitness industry is always changing. And since I started, it was really more of a focus on really large groups and then some private on the side. And since then it's evolved more into, we do still do a little bit of private training. We have small groups, which is like 2 to 5 people, and large groups, which is 5 to 12 people. And everything we still try to personalize as much as we can, but we offer it in groups as well as the individual training.
So as far as your business goes, number of clients, employees, the role you play in the business, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So as of now, I've got 2 coaches that work for me and I still coach quite a bit as well. And then I've also got an administrative assistant that helps me out. And my role in the business is, of course, you know, to run the business in general. I still do quite a bit of coaching because I do enjoy it. I will probably, you know, keyword probably, I don't like to say always or never, but I feel pretty confident that I will always coach some. I would like to maybe coach a little bit less than I do right now, but I do enjoy the coaching and the social aspect that comes with it. So I'll probably always continue to do that as well.
So what would you like to work on today?
Well, as you already know, I've been trying to branch into an online business. A couple different things that I've got going on online as far as I've been training functional neurology for the last 5 years or so with Z-Health. I've also kind of branched out and created my own supplement and trying to take some of these things online to create a secondary income as well as just be able to reach more people. And one of the issues that I've had for quite some time is that I'm 100% a shiny object person. I get really excited about things really easily. And whenever I do, they take a lot of my focus. And I struggle with, now that I'm essentially running 2 businesses, because online and offline really are 2 separate businesses, now that I'm trying to run both, it's been a struggle for me to focus on one without leaving the other one behind. And instead of having a good mix of working on multiple things at once, I find that I'll work on one for a period of time and let the other one go. And then I'll switch back and let the other one go. And it's just, it's not working out the way that I need it to. Things are still progressing, but not really at the rate that they should be because of this kind of a lack of focus in each area.
So let's talk about kind of productivity and planning for a second and learn a little bit about what you already are doing and see how we can optimize it. So how do you plan out how you're currently using your time?
Well, I put everything into Google Calendar. I have multiple different calendars that keep track of stuff, but ultimately everything that I have flows into Google Calendar. And so I've got all my appointments set up through that way. I've got my times blocked off for my lunch and my workout and, you know, breakfast and showers and all that. All those things are kind of locked off. And then as far as being able to put it all together, I try to look at stuff like on Sunday, the week before, and figure out what I want to do. And I plug it into my calendar as I go. I try to do it on a, you know, put together a week plan and then do it kind of day by day as far as, all right, let's plan out what I want to do for Monday, Tuesday night, reevaluate my weekly plans, reevaluate for Tuesday. I'm semi-consistent at that. You know, there's always room for improvement. I could definitely do better. I don't always do it every single night like I should, but definitely trying to get in the groove of that. Part of the issue that I have with doing it is that I find that I tend to lean more towards stuff that I want to do that excite me more instead of focusing on things that really probably have more of an importance.
So I think the first thing that I would look at would be the things that we're already obligated to. And it sounds like you're already doing some planning there, but if you're obligated for training sessions, if you're obligated for your own, you know, your own training program, any of that sort of thing, you know, you're allocating enough time for that. But one of the areas, like, I think we do a pretty good job of typically saying, okay, I'm training this client at 11, I'm training this client at 12. And so we block that time off on our calendar because those are kind of the necessary things that we have to do to keep the business moving forward. Is it safe to assume you're blocking off the time for that?
Oh, yes, definitely, 100%. That's blocked off consistently without fail.
Right, and I would assume that's the case with most people. So where I think a lot of us fall short is, you know, we see that as a responsibility of ours because we've already sold those training sessions. But the truth is there are a few other things that are responsibilities in our business that have to happen every week, but we don't necessarily treat them like responsibilities a lot of the time. We treat them, you know, like tasks we would like to do, tasks we think we should do, but we don't treat them with the same diligence and commitment that we treat those training sessions that we have to deliver. And in part, that's because somebody's already paid for those, but in part, it's also because we know somebody's going to be there waiting on us. But if we think about this, I mean, we still have to pay the rent. We still have to pay our employees. We still have to pay ourselves. So we have to keep new business coming into the business. So I think each week you need to be allocating some time for whether you want to call it business growth or just business stability. Like, you have to be allocating probably at least 3 to 5 hours a week for that. And that's probably blocking off some time, you know, most days and saying, okay, from 8 to 9, Monday through Friday is the time that I'm going to work on lead generation and conversion. And so we have to make an appointment for that stuff because if we don't, over time, I mean, we're no matter how good you are, you have a little bit of attrition. So you're going to have to at least replenish the clients that you have. And that, you know, if you're allocating 3 to 5 hours a week to lead generation conversion, you know, you should be able to make some headway there. So is that some, before we get into what that looks like in practicality, is that something you're doing now?
Not as well as I should be.
Okay. So I mean, so the first thing that we have to do is treat that the same way that we would a training session and just block it off and say, okay, this is my lead generation and conversion time block. And then, you know, it doesn't, in truth, if you're focused on the right things, 3 to 5 hours a week is probably enough outside of when you're sitting down with somebody for a success session or something like that. So that's going to be priority one, is making sure that we're mapping that out and we're allocating the appropriate amount of time for it. Now, when we're allocating that time, we have to think about a couple of things. Like, one, what time do we have available around the training sessions we're delivering and those things that are pretty, I think, person specific. So, you know, you have a little bit of flexibility if we're talking about writing a newsletter or optimizing your ads or anything like that. I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to happen at 10 a.m. Whereas if you have a commitment for a training session, you know, that has to happen at a particular time that works for both you and the client. So, you know, so that's the first part, is we have to kind of work around those other obligations that involve other people. But then the second is, when can you do your best work? Some people call this their creative time. I mean, for me, I know that I'm a better writer in the morning. I'm more creative in the morning. And if I try to do my creative work at 2 p.m, it just doesn't work out as well. So is there a time when you're kind of more dialed in mentally, creatively, that if you had to do writing, if you had to optimize ads or landing pages or any of that stuff, is there some time that is not already scheduled that you can block off?
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely say it's not evening. You know, that was the original plan for a while, was whenever I got home was to try to do some of these things. And, you know, I usually get home, you know, 7:30, 7:45 at night. And I was just finding that it just wasn't happening, especially now that I'm getting married this year and I'm not eating dinner by myself anymore. It's really not happening. So it's going to have to be, for me, probably, it hasn't been blocked off, but there's been some times in the morning when I have a little bit more time when I come home from my morning break that I could work on some stuff, and other times that I haven't, but I could schedule it out to where it is blocked off and stays that way. I would say probably, you know, I go in really early most mornings, then I come home from my first break, I breakfast, shower, feed the dog, clean up. And then right after that is probably when I'm going to be the most productive.
So that matters a lot, because, you know, I mean, I know for me, there are a lot of times where, in theory, on Saturday morning before people are up kind of doing their thing in my house, I could easily do work, but that's not Saturdays. For whatever reason, I'm kind of decompressing after the week and I don't get a lot done from a professional standpoint. So, I mean, you have to know yourself well enough to know what's going to actually work for you. And you can't really adopt somebody else's schedule verbatim. So if you know that you've got that time, block it off, and then think of it as this container of time for you to use. And if you're only going to have that container of time, you know, 3 to 5 days a week, what are the 3 to 5 most important things you can get done this week to grow your business, the lead generation, the conversion side of things, you know, again, outside of those success sessions that, again, have to match up with somebody else's schedule. So if you have that time, you think about, okay, what are my highest return tasks that I can perform? What are the things that matter most? And then typically we're going to look back and say, okay, where have most of my leads come from? Where have most of my new clients come from? And use that information to make the choices about how we're going to spend our time. So, like, what kind of things do you feel like wouldn't be getting done right now because your focus has been more towards the supplement business?
Focusing on leads outside of transformation challenges. That's kind of where I found has been more of my issue in the last 6 to 8 months, where I've just kind of allowed organic leads to come in and then done leads when I do challenges, which is, you know, 4, maybe 5 times a year. And then whenever I find that I'm not promoting a challenge or trying to convert and it's in that off time, I just haven't really been doing a whole lot. That's because I've been focused more on the online stuff. And I think that's kind of what's the big piece for me that's missing is during that in between times, like right now, I'm not in a challenge and I'm not going to promote a challenge for about another 45 days. And this is when I really need to be focused on a different type of lead generation.
So if I'm in your shoes right now, I need something that is a little more sustainable, a little bit more of a kind of thing that I can plug in, and it's not schedule sensitive. It's not, okay, I need to go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting or I need to go to a BNI meeting or something like that if we're going to use this strategy. So the obvious thing that I would look at would be, okay, how do I build an email list? And then that way I can spend all of my time, or at least a lot of my time during that 3 to 5 hours per week on A, kind of dialing in, how do I get new people on the list? And then B, how do I, or marketing to the list, either via an email newsletter or driving the emails to a video. And I know you've been doing more video as of late and you're getting more comfortable with that. So it can be as simple as picking your lead magnet to get people to share that they're interested. And then each day you're spending a few minutes making sure that the lead magnet's out there in front of people, be it spending a few dollars a day on ads, getting people to share it, sharing it organically on social media, and then sending out a 3-time-a-week email. I mean, that's something that you could be doing all the time to grow your business, and then throwing in PSs or that super signature where I talk about, hey, whenever you're ready, here are a couple ways that I can help you. That's consistent. It's something you can do in between challenges. That it's kind of like the golden goose. The bigger that email list is and the better you're connecting with them, when you're running challenges, you're going to get more of an influx too. And then in between, if some people decide they're ready to come in, you're connected with them. They're aware of what you have to offer. And it's all stuff that could easily be done in 3 to 5 hours a week.
Okay. Yeah. And that all sounds good. And most of these things that you're talking about are things that are already there. They're just not being managed to the level that they should be. As far as, you know, lead magnets exist, you know, I'm already trying to consistently post 4 to 5 times a week on social media. You know, it's not hard to take that and reutilize it as part of my newsletter as well, you know, at least for the 3 times a week, you know, and then adding in the different PSs and then, you know, using some of these lead magnets to spend a couple of dollars on some Facebook ads that are already out there, Instagram ads on top of it, because that can help build the online business that I have as well. Because the more that I have as far as a following on social media, then it can help me locally and online both. So it's kind of a way of helping both out at the same time.
Well, yeah. And obviously, if you're going to be building the online business, getting to be more and more proficient at, you know, acquiring leads and customers profitably through paid traffic is a skill that, you know, you probably need to have over the long haul. So that's definitely something I would be spending some time on. So what that might look like in practicality would be doing kind of a post-week review where you look at, okay, well, what did I get done on those 3 to 5 things I was trying to get done last week for my offline business? And it might mean, okay, setting a target for the number of leads, setting a target for getting out emails and videos, and then setting a target for people who actually come in and either do a success session or a trial or whatever you're going to do to convert. And so maybe those are your 3 targets each week. Do your post-week review and see how far you got, what kind of success you had, and then what lessons you learned. How could you have dialed it in? How could you have done a little bit better? And then you just plan the upcoming week. You say, okay, on Monday, I'm going to, you know, whether you want to write or do videos on a spaced out way, or whether you prefer to kind of do bulk content creation. Kind of up to you, but you may say Monday, okay, I'm going to do a video and then write a quick, you know, two or three sentences telling people where to go see it. Tuesday, I'm going to go ahead and do some stuff on Instagram. Wednesday, back to the video and the email. And it's all very simple, but what's nice about it is it becomes easier the better the rhythm you get into. And you get to see, okay, well, this PS worked a little bit better than that one. And then the whole time, you know, after you get your ads up and running, then it just becomes kind of turn the dials to optimize them.
Okay. Yeah, definitely going to be very helpful in that, you know, because it's really not that much work in comparison to what's already there. It's really just organizing it a little bit more specific. I mean, I do relatively well at emailing out to my list, and the goal is actually to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the content is there, you know, because I'm consistently posting on social media 4 to 5 times a week. So the content's there if I repurpose it. It's just making sure that I'm getting it, you know, emailed out and kind of sitting down and looking at it. Because I haven't been doing any post-week reviews. It's like, okay, here's my plan for the week. Here's what I want to try to get done. And then when the next week rolls around, it's pretty much the same thing. Okay, here's my plan for this week. This is what I want to try to get done with zero review over the prior week. And I think that that's going to be definitely helpful for me to see exactly if I'm getting done what I lay out. Because again, I get so distracted that it's easy for me to lose focus on those things.
I think it's important to not only map out what your to-dos are, but what you're trying to accomplish with those to-dos. So if the goal is to get, let's say, 20 new email subscribers each week, which, you know, that may be a conservative goal, may be a big goal. I mean, it kind of depends on where you're at as far as ad spend and that sort of stuff. But, you know, each week you can look back and say, well, hey, we hit our 20 and that's great. So let's keep doing what we're doing. But if you come in at 12, well, then you can say, well, we need to course correct a little bit and make some changes. Or if there's this goal of getting out 3 emails a week with a PS or a super signature at the end and you only got 2, well, cumulatively over the course of a month, you know, if you're only getting out 2/3 as many, I mean, you're potentially cutting your offers and your opportunity to generate revenue or new business by 1/3. I mean, that can be pretty catastrophic over time. And then, you know, you can look at how many people actually came in to meet with you or experience what you have to offer. And if your target is, you know, 3 a week, then again, we have some feedback. We have an opportunity to say, well, okay, this is what I need to do better. And I think if you have that constant feedback in front of you and you're not just kind of brushing it under the rug, it's going to help you stay on track through the course of the week and not get pulled off by shiny objects or whatever kind of comes up and be reactive. So I think the simple planning, saying, okay, I'm going to focus on these 3 to 5 things in total and doing a review to make sure that you know how it's working. So if you're only going to be doing 3 things, you know you're doing the right 3 things. That should be a pretty simple way to keep making progress, even if something isn't your number one priority.
Yeah, it's so easy to overanalyze and overthink stuff and make it so much more complicated than what it really needs to be. And I feel pretty confident that that's not just a problem that I have when it comes to being an entrepreneur. You know, there's so many things out there that you want to try to get good at and get so excited about the new stuff that, you know, I want to be able to just bring it back and focus on, you know, like you said, the 2, 3, 4 things that have worked well for me and just make those a consistency more than anything else. And I think being able to lay this out, you know, post-week review, plan the next week, lay it out on the calendar, so it's right there in front of me, because I'm always looking at my calendar anyway, and really just lay that out to make it more consistent.
Yeah, then it just becomes kind of a binary thing. I either wrote my email today or I didn't. And if you didn't, you kind of accept that, you know, you don't do that on a regular basis and you're going to pay the price. But, you know, it's okay if your primary focus isn't the offline right now, if you're trying to build this second business, but you can still make sure that the attention you are giving the offline business is focused on those highest return activities, and you're tracking it to make sure you're not wasting time doing stuff that isn't valuable. So I think this is a pretty straightforward plan.
Yep. It sounds pretty good to me.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, that's a great topic. I'm glad we got to spend some time on that, because I know that, you know, a lot of the time when I'm talking to somebody in these coaching environments, it's usually, hey, how am I going to connect with my ideal client or anything like that? Well, here, you know, it's just, okay, I've got a lot of things on my plate, how to make the best use of my time. So I appreciate you bringing that to the table, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on here. And as always, I appreciate the feedback and, you know, kind of an executable plan. And that's what's always been really helpful, is it's not just, you know, something super general. You know, we're always able to lay it out and get very specific about what I need to do. So that way it's laid on paper and it's like, all right, here's my actionable steps. And those are the types of things that I personally need as an entrepreneur.
Awesome. Well, hey, again, great talking with you. And thank you to everybody who listened in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show. So this is Pat and Dustin signing off.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.